0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Could Vaclav Cherny be making a Rangers return as Dennett McInnes targets a winger? Celtic are in action right now against Sporting Lisbon in Portugal, and the second round of Premier Sports Cup games take place tonight with the likes of Aberdeen, Kilmarnock, Falkirk and Partick Thistle all in action. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Richard Foster, and we were just saying in the office 2 minutes ago, I can't quite believe that we're on the second round of cup fixtures already and the World Cup semi-finals haven't even taken place yet.
Yeah, it's a bit surreal. It's, you know, this cup, most teams or a lot of teams use it as the end of their pre-season, but it's a fantastic opportunity to win something and get to Hampden. You know, you get through the group stages, but it's just, it's so strange that we're looking forward to France, Spain tonight, and then at the same time there'll be other games on because they'll kind of run almost concurrently. So strange setup, but who's going to complain about more football being on?
It's a strange balance to strike for the teams as well, because as you say, it is a sort of extension of pre-season for some teams, but you saw what the competition did for St Mirren last season in winning it, that they had a squad of players that became legends. So it might not seem as important sometimes when the top sides, the Premiership sides, are taking on lower league opposition, but it could all lead to something quite special.
Yeah, and like I said, it's a fantastic opportunity to win something. I think, you know, if you go through, you get through the groups, obviously the guys from the top six and the European teams come into the competition, but it's a fantastic opportunity to get you, you know, one game after that and you can get to Hampden, or two games you can get to Hampden. So it's a fantastic opportunity. It's difficult because it comes so early in the preparation, but players are fitter now. You know, they have off-season programs. They probably have about two weeks off from doing anything, and then it's back into your program. So there's not that drop-off in fitness, certainly that there used to be. I don't mind. I think I heard someone on here the other day speaking that it's, you know, pre-season games, friendlies are boring. You know, you don't really get, you know, you just kind of, oh yeah, get a good workout, and it's, whereas actually having that competitive edge, you probably start, you definitely will work harder, you know, kind of unbeknownst to yourself. So it's, I think it's good to get things up and running early, but at the same time, you know, these guys get very, very little respite and holidays now. They're pretty much fit for the full year.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Maybe you're heading along to one of the Premier Sports Cup games this evening and you want to chat to us while you're on your way to the game. You want to see how your team are preparing for the new season. You can ring us 0141 951 1025. Celtic are in action right now in a friendly against Sporting Lisbon over in Portugal. They're currently 1-0 down. Some interesting starters in that game, the likes of Paulo Bernardo, the likes of Mikel Ange Balakwisha as well. So Martin O'Neill running the rule over them. And I think there could be a debut for Camilo Duran, who is on the bench. I think missed training yesterday through illness, but is on the bench, so expected to make an appearance at some point. And Rangers fans, what about Vaclav Cherny? Could he make a return to Rangers? Would you like to see him as the winger that Dennett McInnes needs to bring in over the next few weeks? Is there another option you'd like to see? I've also seen quotes from Youssef Chermita today saying that he is settled at Rangers. Do you think he can strike up a good partnership with Lauren Shankland? Is there a price that you would sell him at? You can let us know. 0141 951 1025. And for a bit of extra incentive to phone in all this week, we're giving away the chance to head to the Glasgow Fair Family Race Day at Ayr Racecourse on Monday the 20th of July. We're giving away summer sizzler tickets, so it's two adults and two children plus drinks and snacks from the cafe. The day features seven races plus live shows and family entertainment. So to enter, give us a call right now, 0141 951 1025. If you make it on air and you make a point, you will be in with a chance of winning. It's over 18s only, and you can get all the T's and C's at Clyde1.com. Let's go straight to the phones though, shall we? Because Gary is in South Queens Ferry. Gary, how are you this evening?
Evening, Jess. How are you? Okay?
Good, thank you.
Good, thanks.
Enjoying your summer so far?
Yeah, not too bad. I feel like
weather's nice.
I feel like it's flown in, hasn't it? Especially with the World Cup. All of a sudden, the new season's almost upon us.
Yeah, it's. There's been no time to, you know, you've not had to miss any football, certainly, so it's actually quite good. I don't really like the break, you know, nothing to do. There's on a Saturday afternoon, there's nothing to kind of get your teeth into. So we're getting my fix from the World Cup, and then now the season's back soon, so it's been a decent summer so far.
How are you feeling about Rangers summer so far, Gary? Is there anything on your mind in particular that you like that they've done, or something that you want to see them do?
I like the Gary McInnes bringing in a good few players and stuff like that. Looks a little bit stronger and stuff. My point tonight is still not got a captain for me. I know Raskin did it a couple of times last season. Tavernier held that for about 11 years. But for me, I think he should... he needs to, like, tell the fans that this is the main guy, this is going to be a captain, this is who I want. It doesn't seem to be got the ball rolling on that one.
Have you got any suggestions, Gary?
If it was held to, if it was given to Raskin, then yes, that might keep him for another season. But if not, then I can see Raskin going to be moving on after he's finished in the World Cup now. So, and there doesn't seem to be anybody there that's kind of can lead that role as a captain.
Well, I think in Rangers friendly they had over the weekend, it was Dan Neil that's come in from Sunderland. He wore the armband for the first half, and it was Lawrence Shankland in the second half. So would that maybe indicate that there are a couple of players that Dennett McInnes might be looking at?
I can't see Shankland having it. I mean, it's great and got him in the club, definitely, but I don't think that Shankland's a man to be holding the captain of Rangers.
I mean, Dennett McInnes trusted him enough at Hearts to wear the captain's armband, which would maybe point towards the fact that he wouldn't think he'd be a bad Rangers captain if he trusted him there. Dan Neil wearing the armband is an interesting one because he'd captained Sunderland previously.
Yeah, I think that, you know, someone with experience of being a captain helps, because it is an extra, you know, expectation on your shoulders. And I think Shankland dealt with it very well last season. You know, he stepped up when he needed to. He led the line really well. He had a good season, and some people really flourish in that role. For other people, they find it too difficult. So someone, you know, Neil or Shankland, who have had that experience, you know, Devlin coming in, yeah, I don't know him as a person, whether he'd be a captain material, but Derek knows him. We actually had it at Ross County, where Andrew Davies came in, had Premiership experience, had previous captain experience, and he was our captain at Ross County, and he was a very good captain, because it's not just on the pitch. There's a lot of, you know, bits and pieces that, you know, the captain has to deal with off the pitch as well, and it can be quite consuming at times. So no, I think someone with experience, I wouldn't mind Shankland. I don't know, Gary, would you rather someone who's been there for a couple of seasons, or would you mind it being one of the new guys coming in?
I'm not too sure, because to me, like, Shankland's obviously a great player, and he's like a wee bit injury, like the last season and stuff like that. But I just feel as if we could just maybe go out and get somebody, you know, like if we got money for Raskin, and then just come in and get somebody that would just, I'm not too sure. Just, I understand what you're saying about, you know, off the pitch and all the rest of it, and Shankland's obviously a great guy like that, but somebody, I don't know, for the back, or I'm not too sure.
And I suppose that might be part of Dennett McInnes' thinking as to why he's not made an announcement so far, because if Gary's correct and Dennett McInnes is wanting to bring in a captain that's one of the new players, then he might think, well, there might still be someone to come in that fits that bill. It may be a Dan Neil, it may be a Lawrence Shankland, but there may be someone else lined up, so he's not going to want to announce it too early.
No, absolutely. And the problem you've got, given it someone this early, you know, the bigger characters in that dressing room are the ones that have been linked to moves away. You know, you speak about Raskin, you know, actually changed a few games for Belgium when he came on in the World Cup, among kind of superstars on their team. So his potential move has probably, you know, got even greater than it was beforehand. So I think he'll probably leave. There's a whole host of them that are going to leave, and it's maybe just right who we, because I think that Derek is right. I'm right in saying that Derek has said that he needs to get players out before he can get more in. So it's like, right, he probably needs to see who he can get out to find out who he can get in. And like you say, the captain might be one that he has an idea of, but is not in the building yet. So then it's just you know, give a few guys the armband for the friendly matches, don't really pay too much attention to it. Or it's just a case of watch the squad over pre-season, because, you know, sometimes people naturally come to the fore. They're the loudest in training, they're the best in the group, you know, they're more respected by a lot of the players. So you never know, someone might come to the fore in pre-season that we won't know about.
You mentioned having that experience of being at a club where a new player gets the armband, which maybe doesn't happen all that often. Does that risk maybe putting the nose out of joint of players that have been there a bit longer, that may feel that, you know, they've got a good stake of being the captain? Or am I sort of overthinking that a bit?
Yeah, no, I think your point's valid. I just think that that probably shows you the mark of the player more than anything. If you're at a club and you've been there for a few years and they don't have a captain, and someone comes in and takes that role and you're upset by that, that's probably more a judgment of you as a person and a player as you know, the guy coming in. Because, you know, the guy coming in is, unless in his negotiations he said, "I'm only coming in if I'm captain," which I doubt would have been the case. So that player, he's came in, and if that happens, then it's like, well, you know, the manager has felt this new character coming in, this fresh face to the group, is the best way to go about it. He might look at that squad and think, "I don't have any captains in here." You know, I know he had Shankland at Hearts, but he maybe thinks, not at Rangers. So it'd be interesting to see what Derek thinks about the whole situation. But I think most players coming in, most players at the club, if someone comes in new and is made captain, I don't think they'd have a problem with that.
Gary, what about Václav Černý? A bit of talk that Rangers may be interested in bringing him back. Would you like to see that?
Oh yeah, definitely. Going forward with him, how many goals did he score last time when he was at Rangers?
Good question. I think it was maybe high double figures, around 18-ish assists as well.
Yeah, great, great player. He looks as if he's thinking about leaving the sector. So yeah, I would go and snap him up, definitely. He knows the club, he knows the players. Yeah, he's a great, great, great player. Always going forward, comes back sometimes, but going forward, yeah. And as you say, scores the goals, and his assists are amazing.
Well, thank you to Gary. Let's speak to Graham, who's a Rangers fan in Springburn. Graham, what about Václav Černý? Do you want to see him back?
100%. That's just what I was saying there, the producer. I think when we're talking about his figures, it was 18 goals and 9 assists the last time. I mean, 27 goal contributions, and if a team that don't score anywhere near enough goals, well, no bad last year. Obviously, it might affect Finlay Curtis not playing as much, but you need two good players for every position, and they'll probably run with Černý as well.
Yeah, there maybe had been a bit of criticism around Rangers' wide players last season and not contributing enough when it came to goals. So you'd expect that Derek McInnes is maybe wanting a bit more from his wingers this season, especially if, you know, he's really targeting bringing a new one in.
Yeah, I think if you're wanting to be realistic contenders to win the league, you look at the contribution that Maeda's made over the last few seasons. Absolutely fantastic, and I think you're going to play that front three. You need your wingers to chip in with goals and assists, and that's an area that they were maybe lacking in a bit. You know, Finlay Curtis, I think probably the best thing he could have done is go out on loan and, you know, get games under his belt. I was disappointed that they let him go. You know, in the early part of the season, they were playing Mikey Moore ahead of him, and I don't think at that point there was much between them. I still don't think there is much between them. And I'm always a champion for, why would we take up a young player from Spurs and play him and not play our own young player? Especially when the difference between what you're getting on the pitch, I don't think would have been that big. So, you know, Curtis comes back into the fold. I would like to see him play more games, but again, at his age, it's a big ask to go in there and be the main man at Rangers, the main winger. I think with Černý coming back again, as Graham said, he's been there. His goals and his assists are fantastic. So he knows what the expectations are. He's a bit older, he's a bit more mature, so he then can probably cope with that pressure because he has already. But you know, Graham's right. You're wanting two good players for every position, so whoever plays is on top form. And I think Curtis could probably learn a lot from Černý. He's right.
Could you see Finlay Curtis playing a big role this year, Graham?
Oh, absolutely. We guys never let us down. I was the same as Forster. I thought he shouldn't have went away earlier, halfway through the season. Any time he got a chance, he scored or he got an assist, even though his game time was limited. I get why we put him out, to give him more game time, so maybe it's worked out better in the long run. But absolutely, I think the wee guy will be a class player this year, sort of new signing for us.
Yeah, I suppose you never know what would have happened in the second half of the season if Finlay Curtis had stayed at Rangers, but he's on record himself saying that he was actually the one that pushed for the move. He felt it was better for his development in January. If he went away and he got game time elsewhere, it was obviously a risk, but turned out to be the right decision. Had a really good time at Kilmarnock, got himself into the Scotland squad for the World Cup. So, you know, no matter what could have happened at Rangers, it certainly was a good step that he made across those 5 or 6 months.
Absolutely. You know, training only gets players so far. Young players need to play games. They need to go out there and play games and experience what it's like to be on the pitch and, you know, how quickly things move. And I know he'd played games at Rangers, but you need, especially younger players and younger wingers. Wingers are renowned for being relatively inconsistent. I think that's a bit disparaging towards them, but that's the old shtick that they get is they're inconsistent. So he needs to go and play games. He needs to be on the pitch. He needs to make mistakes. He needs to learn. He needs to understand the position. He needs to understand, right, I'm not having my best game today. How do I contribute towards the team? And the only way these players can learn that is by playing games. Now, typically at the old firm, it takes longer for these guys to break in. So you're looking at then you're getting up 18, 19, 20, and you've played a handful of games. So I think him going out on loan was fantastic for him. And like you say, it culminated in him being in the Scotland squad. Now, granted, yes, the overall campaign for the World Cup was disappointing from Scotland, but for him it would have been a fantastic experience, and I'm sure it's one that he wants to get back to, and to get back to that he needs to be playing games.
Graham, there's been a report in the last few minutes from Sky Sports saying that Rangers are linked with a defender called Olwethu Makanya, who plays for Philadelphia Union, was part of South Africa's squad at the World Cup. Now, I'm not expecting you to know too much about him at all, but is that a key area, you think, a central defender? It looks as if John Souter may be on the way. Do you think Rangers need a new starting centre-back, or do you think, you know, the starters are in there, the likes of Ben Godfrey, Emmanuel Fernandez?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely need a left-sided central defender. I don't know what this guy is, obviously I don't claim to know much about him, but we definitely need bulk up there, probably another backup left back as well. Rummings looks class, but he has been injured. I don't know if he's carried injury, but I definitely think we need him.
I think Graham's just cut out there. Not quite sure. It's disconnected from
he
his car.
Climbed into his submarine.
That was it. Maybe he's got a way to do his research on Olwethu Makanya. We'll leave him to do that. But certainly, you know, Dennett McInnes has made a few signings already, but you'd expect that business at Rangers is far from done. There's still a few areas that he'll need to be looking at.
Yeah, absolutely. I think centre half is one of them, especially like you say, if John Souter looks like he's leaving. You know, Derek kind of builds his teams typically on big, strong centre-backs. So he'll be looking to bolster in that area. But again, it goes back to that he's going to need to get players out. I think I read the other day they got a squad of 28. You know what I mean? It's two teams plus six subs. It's, you know, those six subs should be the younger players, so you don't really need that many senior pros. You look at the wage bill and stuff like that. So I think you'll end up streamlining that a little bit. But that then might dictate when he can sign more players, so he might have to wait a little spell. I think he's done, you know, early business already, which has been good, get the players in, get them there for pre-season, but you're probably looking at four or five still to leave, and then that might then trigger other signings. But I think definitely the centre-back area. One area I don't think they need to strengthen very much now is the centre-mid. I know they've brought in Cammy Dev,
which looks as if they're still targeting. I think Jens Hjerto Dahl seems to be the big one from Norway.
I would imagine then there's going to be a few out in that area. You know, when you think of Conor Barron, Asgard, Diamande, obviously
Raskin, the big one.
Raskin's a big one, Devlin, but I think Raskin's going to go. Mm-hmm. It seems like he certainly put himself in a shop window with his performance in the World Cup. So there are a few areas I need to strengthen, but I'm convinced they're going to need to get players out first.
Well, thank you to Graham, 0141 951 1025. It's time to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online.
Behind the Scottish Sun.co.uk/football.
Now, in your first appearance on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, you managed to dodge playing Beat the Pundit because it was a flip of the coin. It was Tony Watt that played instead of you, but you're in yourself. So Richard Foster is guaranteed to be playing Beat the Pundit tonight, and it could be against you. 0141 951 1025. You can ring now, and you could be up next after the break.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Still plenty of time to get your calls in on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Richard Foster here with me, Andrew McLean. So if you've got any thoughts on whether it's transfer business, maybe you're a Celtic fan that is wanting them to get a move on, possibly, and add to that one signing that has come in so far. They are currently in friendly action against Sporting Lisbon over in Portugal. Sporting are 1-0 up in that game. Maybe you're watching along and want to tell us what you are liking, what you're maybe not liking from that game. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you are a Rangers fan and wants to add to some of the transfer discussion we've had earlier on in the show, or maybe you're heading along to a Premier Sports Cup game tonight. The likes of Aberdeen, Kilmarnock, Falkirk, Partick Thistle, all in action. So maybe you're looking forward to seeing your team for the first time or the second time this season. You can let us know on that number, but we're going to play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
How are you feeling going into your Beat the Pundit debut?
Not good.
No?
No. Football trivia is not really my thing.
That's to be fair, a lot of the pundits do dread it. There's not many that get really excited for Beat the Pundit. That's always
it's almost
the pressure
like you're,
of
you're
it.
Expected to be good at it.
Mm-hmm. And you are, well, you're setting the bar low expectation-wise anyway.
Yeah.
Well, are you doing that deliberately just
a little
in
bit,
case?
Yeah. Now, my knowledge is not fantastic, but I should know some of them.
It's going to be Gary and Blantyre that you're playing. You must like the sound of that, Gary.
No, I don't think he's just kind of trying to lull me in. So, I've bought apples off his cart before.
Have you played before, Gary?
Played three times before.
Oh, three times before?
Don't tell me you've won all three.
I've beat Gordon Dale, beat Jim Duffy, and then I lost 6-4 against Scott Allen just before the World Cup started there.
It's not a bad effort, so. 6-4, but you're trying to get back on a 50-50 percentage. You need one of the coins. That's
there's
it. One of the coveted Beat the Pundit
there's
coins.
There's always league games in the season that you think, I'm glad we're playing them. That's the night. That's the night for Gary. He's glad he's playing me at this.
Right. Normally, what I do is I explain the rules to the caller after I've put something else in your ear, but I'll explain them now just so that you know exactly what's happening, Richard,
right,
since
okay.
It's your first time. What it'll be is, first of all, it'll be 30 seconds on the clock for Gary to answer as many questions as he can. He can pass if that helps him out. You won't be able to hear any of that. Then we'll bring you back in and you'll get exactly the same questions. You'll get 30 seconds to answer them. If it's level by the end of it, it goes to a tiebreaker. If not, we'll have a winner. And it's simple as that. So we will put something else in the ear of Richard Foster so he cannot hear us. He'll have some music on the go. And for you, Gary, as I mentioned, you know the rules and we are good to go. Yep.
Yes.
Let's do it. Celtic played their last European final in which Spanish city?
Seville.
Which Frenchman managed Rangers?
Paul Le Guin.
Name either club to score 5 or more League Cup goals on Saturday.
Dundee United.
How many men's World Cups have there been this century?
16, 14, 18, 22, 7.
New Motherwell goalkeeper Alex Paulson is from which country?
Denmark.
Okay, we will bring Richard Foster back in. Can you hear me, Richard?
I can now, yes.
Any good music on the go there?
Nah, I don't know what it was.
Nah, no idea?
No.
Nah, didn't distract you?
No.
Right, okay. 30 seconds on the clock for Richard Foster. Let's go. Celtic played their last European final in which Spanish city?
Barcelona.
Which Frenchman managed Rangers?
Paul Le Guin.
Name either club to score 5 or more League Cup goals on Saturday.
Park Thistle.
How many men's World Cups have there been this century?
7.
New Motherwell goalkeeper Alex Paulson is from which country?
United States.
Who was the last Scot to manage Aberdeen permanently?
Derek McInnes.
Okay, we will see how Gary thought he got on. How do you think it went, Gary?
Do you know, I'm actually looking at the scores for Saturday there. I'm actually going on my screen on Flash Scores and I can see who's scored 5 in front of me and I just mentioned Dundee United.
Right, we'll go through them and see how you both got on. Celtic played their last European final in which Spanish city? I feared for you after you gave this answer. Very well known, surely, that Celtic's UEFA Cup final in 2003 was in Seville. No? Does that not ring a bell?
No.
not at all.
Well, Rangers played there, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's because I was at that one, but not as a fan, I may add, just so we're clearing that
just
point.
Just clarifying that.
Just clarifying.
Gary said Seville, and you said Barcelona, so it goes 1-0 to Gary. Which Frenchman managed Rangers? You both said Paul Le Guin. You both got it correct. So it is 2-1 to Gary. Name either club to score five or more League Cup goals on Saturday. As Gary said, he was prepared. He had the scores open in front of him, but he panicked. He said Dundee United, I think he went for. Then he panicked.
He scored a last minute winner.
He tried to say something else, but that was his first answer. I can't take that. You said Partick Thistle, which is correct, which means you equalised to all. How many World Cups have there been this century? I could see Gary counting on his hands. He was counting out loud, but I can see him counting on his fingers. He came to the conclusion of seven. You were straight in there with seven, which is correct. Oof. So it's 3-3. And the next question, new Motherwell goalkeeper Alex Paulson is from which country? This is quite a tough one. I can see Gary's logic. He went for Denmark. Paulson sounds as if it could be. You've gone United States. The answer is New Zealand. He was actually in New Zealand's World Cup squad. So it remains 3-3. That was the end of the road for Gary. He didn't get any more questions in. You got one more question in. So you had a chance to have a last minute winner. Who was the last Scot to manage Aberdeen permanently? You said Dennett McInnes. And the answer...
Barry Robson.
...is Barry Robson. So we are going to a tiebreaker.
We've dodged a bullet there.
Going to get some tiebreaker music, possibly. There we go. Just to add to the tension, surely. So what is going to happen here is I'm going to read the question out loud. What you are going to do is you're going to write your answer down, Richard.
Okay.
Not say it out loud. You're going to write it down. And once you've written your answer down, I'm going to invite Gary to say his out loud.
Okay.
So
he gets more time than me, is what you're saying?
Slightly.
Okay.
I'm going to ask for his answer very quickly after you've written it down. Okay. So the question is, what is the combined capacity of all the US stadiums hosting games at this year's World Cup?
That's a ridiculous question.
They normally are ridiculous. That is maybe on the more ridiculous side of things. What is the combined capacity of all US stadiums hosting games at this year's World Cup? So you have written down your answer, which means we will then invite Gary to say his answer. What are you going for, Gary?
770,000.
You've gone for 700.
That sounds like a really specific answer, though.
You have gone for, I will hold it up while I'm speaking. You have gone for 800,000. I cannot believe how close both of you are. Genuinely, was that stab in the dark from both of you? Did you have a rough?
I went roughly 10 stadiums at 80,000 capacity each.
That's fair.
I went roughly 10 stadiums at 70 odd thousand, obviously 77,000, but I knew maybe
it was
some more, some less. So
the answer is 789,580, which means Richard Foster is closer. That is an incredible tiebreaker. I'm genuinely very impressed by both
of
you.
Thank you. That was it was a random question, though.
Very random question, but somehow both of you have got very close. I'm quite impressed. And it's a first Beat the Pundit victory for Richard Foster. What a way to do it.
Yep.
Unlucky, Gary.
Aye, well, good. Well done, Richard.
You might get your positive record at some point. Just keep phoning in. Who's your team, Gary?
Celtic.
How are you feeling about the way that Celtic's transfer window's going so far?
I'm still trying to keep watching the World Cup, so I don't even think about it, to be honest with you. It was good, but I was in Boston there and I was enjoying just no kind of thing about anything. But
now back to reality.
To be fair, Gary, I don't think you've missed much.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, Duran's there, which is good. Might be good, who knows. But it just seems as if we're watching the same movie over and over again. I really don't know. There's a lot of questions to be answered in terms of ins, in terms of outs. I don't know. Just hope the board have got their ducks in a row and they're ready to pounce. But it wouldn't surprise me if they don't.
Yeah, are you not feeling too confident then? I think we've had some Celtic fans on the phone that have said, you know, they're quite calm about it. They think the business will get done. There are other Celtic fans that are pointing to the fact that the last two transfer windows, business has been left late. Maybe some areas in the squad there's been gaps in there. Yes, Celtic still managed to win a double last season, but, you know, are you concerned that the squad might not be improved to its full potential if Celtic don't get a move on?
Andrew, see if people are confident, or fans are confident that it'll eventually get done, because obviously Celtic always leave it late. The last two windows or so, they've left it late and they've been almost a complete failure. So that approach isn't working. Get the business done early, get them in, get them part of the team, get them in with the kind of tactics, shapes, etc., etc. Nobody's going to convince me that it's better to leave it late in a window rather than just get your business done. It doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, but I just don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, certainly optics-wise, it might not be great for some Celtic supporters. You had Michael Nicholson, after the transfer window last summer, saying that, you know, they did get some things wrong and that the transfer window didn't go the way that they wanted, that they were going to learn from those mistakes. You look at the January transfer window, Julian Araujo came in early. Yes, there was a huge disruption with Wilfred Nancy leaving. A lot of business done right at the end, a lot of loan deals, a lot of players that didn't really contribute too much, despite the fact that Celtic still went on to win a couple of trophies. But you can see why Gary and some other supporters might think that it looks as if it could be the same story again.
Absolutely. I think it's based on the way the win in the league and in the cup is papered over cracks. Celtic weren't good last season. We've heard that one of the huge decisions that went in their favour shouldn't have been in their favour, and that would have changed the outcome of the league. I know that's if, buts, and maybes. They did win the league. But this time of the season, I always find it really interesting with football clubs, because this is the time, and the entire season, right enough, but more so now with season tickets and new strips and all the merchandise that they sell, they're really asking the Celtic fans to put their hands in their pocket. You know, to come and buy your season tickets, come and get your new strips, come and get yourself prepared for a brand new season. But they've nothing to get really excited about, you know. And I think that there seems to be an element of complacency in terms of, we've left it late the last few windows. I mean, they didn't replace Kyogo, and that just kind of went snowballed. And then, you know, Celtic fans were complaining about that. They were then rightly so. They were complaining window after that, rightly so. So you would be thinking, right, let's go and make a bit of a statement here. Let's actually plan what we're going to do. Let's have a plan in place, and these are our targets. And even then, by the way, see if you're going for targets and you're not getting them because they went elsewhere for more money or different, then just even kind of make that known, just so your fans can go, oh, well, we tried to get him, we tried to get that player. But it's like they just hear nothing, and then they sign one player and it's like, oh well, you know, the Celtic fans just need to wait. And it's like, what, as a Celtic fan, what are you getting? Like, are you excited for the new season? But you don't really know, because you don't know what the team's going to look like, because there should be more players coming in. There might be players leaving, but who they are and what that's going to look like, you've got absolutely no idea. So if I was a Celtic fan, I'd be raging, because I'd be like, I want something to excite me for the start of this new season. And so far, they've had very, very little.
Gary, there's been quite a bit of talk about outgoings, Daizen Maeda, Reo Hatate, Arne Engels potentially. You know, there's been a bit of talk about Callum McGregor as well. Are there any players in there that you're desperate for Celtic to hold on to, guys that simply can't leave?
Well, clearly, we don't want Hatate. We don't want a good Hatate to leave, or a Maeda, but listen, these guys don't owe anything. They've come in. They're probably going to make his, well, if Maeda leaves, definitely going to make his money, as will Hatate. Engels will as well, and that's the model. And again, fans that don't like it realise that's the model. We're a feeder club. And if we can bring in, by the way, getting 25 million-ish for Engels, considering his overall contribution over the last couple of seasons, I think that's great business. So if you're going to get that, then I think this is the right time. Obviously, January probably wasn't the right time, because admittedly, I kind of a close title fight, but none of these guys knows anything. Callum McGregor, again, he might be getting sick of the fact that the board have less ambition than he has. Clearly, he would probably like to be in a team that's kind of going places. And by the way, see if he goes somewhere for the money for the last couple of years of his career. Again, he owes Celtic nothing. He's been a great servant. So every one of them you've mentioned would get a kind of thanks and good luck for myself personally.
Yeah, Callum McGregor is on record towards the end of last season saying that the Celtic board need to match his ambition, or else, you know, he might think about his future. He'll know a lot more than us about what's going on at Celtic at the moment. But if he is of a same mindset as, you know, Gary and some other Celtic fans, he may be questioning what's going on and why there maybe aren't as many players coming in as fans would like.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you imagine what it's like for him away from, you know, surrounded by friends and family and people who are all Celtic, who might be Celtic fans. They'll all ask him, because he's the captain, now, oh, what's happening? Who are we signing with? And he's obviously just used to going, well, I've got no idea. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on. Now, will he need to go to Saudi, for example, to make loads of money? He probably doesn't need to, but he might just think, you know what, I've done everything there is to do at Celtic. He's captained the club for however long. He's, what, the second all time in terms of the honours, mm-hmm, behind James Forrest. He might, like we've been discussing there, he might just go, you know what, see, for the last little bit of my career, I'm just going to go where there'll be far less pressure. Not in the kind of Glasgow Goldfish Bowl. I can get to go and relax and enjoy my football. And like Gary's saying, they don't owe him. He doesn't owe Celtic anything. He's given absolutely everything to Celtic. So it'll be interesting to see what he does and where, what his mindset is. Is he waiting to see who they sign to think, right, we're going to have one more season where they can actually, you know, go after the teams in Europe? Because in order to do that, they need to be a lot better than they were last season. And so far, they haven't signed enough players.
Thank you to Gary. Apologies if you have been experiencing any sound issues. I believe that they are all sorted now. You can get your calls in 0141 951 1025, and you can do that while I tell you this.
Clyde One. Make me a
winner. Well, do you fancy bringing home a life-changing £777,000 on Friday? Pat didn't think it would happen to her, and it did. Now it is your chance to try and win. So get your place in the Make Me a Winner draw right now. Text yes to 61025, text for 250, plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the rules for this network competition there. Or you can call in 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Don't miss out. Lines close at 5 o'clock this Friday. And if you answer our call, simple as that, £777,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account right after the call. So for your chance to win, text yes to 61025 now.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Richard Foster here with me, Andrew McLean. So if you've got any final thoughts that you want to make, whether it is on transfers, whether it's just looking ahead to the season, whether you're looking ahead to tonight's Premier Sports Cup matches, there are plenty on. Maybe you're on your way to one of them. You can give us a call. Let us know what you think. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. It's still ongoing, that friendly between Sporting and Celtic over in Portugal. 56 minutes on the clock. Sporting still 1-0 up. There's only so much you can really take from friendly results. Something that Celtic fans will be looking at is probably just the lineup that is there, the fact that, you know, Balakwisha, Paulo Bernardo, guys that didn't really get much of a look in last season are playing. Good for, you know, Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney to run the rule over these guys, but the fact that they've had quite a bit of time already, a few months, makes you wonder, you know, are they more in the shop window than anything else?
Yeah, possibly. I think, you know, pre-season, the way it's structured, the first game for everyone tends to be a half. So, you know, you see teams changing all 11 players at half time, and then you build your, you know, you have a couple of them and then build it up to 16, 30. And then, you know, you have to work out how that works for everyone. So basically you want to start the season with everyone having similar game time.
Interesting, Celtic actually only made two half-time changes.
Well, I just throw everything I just said right in the bin then.
Bernardo and Balakwisha, the two I mentioned, went off, and Engels and Oxlade-Chamberlain came on.
Well, I was right for those four. No, you know, obviously I don't know at what point in the pre-season they are yet, but yeah, it seems strange to not make that many changes in a pre-season game, pre-season friendly. But, you know, who am I to question Martin O'Neill's methods? You know, I think he knows what he's doing. He's just probably just trying to kind of use the squad and give, like you say, give these guys an opportunity. Are they going to start for Celtic to start the first game of the season? Probably not, but you might, you know, you might go and play a friendly against Sporting, and someone might see Sporting might go, yeah, we'll take Bernardo. So you never know. what the thought process behind it was. But I think they do need, you know, bringing these guys back into the fold almost. Yeah, it gives them probably a little bit of impetus, but it doesn't really excite the rest of the group. You know, every season you need new players to come in with a freshness. You almost need guys to come in who you think, he might play ahead of me, so then I need to up my game. And I think they need that, and they need that little bit of a spark. As much as I said, the fans need something to get excited for, the players need something to go, right, okay, I need to make sure that I train well and I'm, you know, I'm one of the fittest and I'm in form so I start the season. At the moment, you know, there's not many players at Celtic, I would think, that are under pressure to start the game, because there's nobody waiting in the wings to kind of to take their place.
Let's go back to the phones. Alan is a Rangers fan in Irvine. What have you got for us tonight, Alan?
Just going on, guys. Hi, Richard, Andrew. It's just coming on. There was, I think, Gary, there was a few calls on. There was talk about with Czerny coming back with, obviously, with Finlay Cutters. I think the two of them could play in the same team, because Finlay Cutters, you can play off the left, and Czerny, obviously, off the right. And I think they've both got the ability to come in off the flanks, because I think when Finlay Cutters going for Scotland, it was off the left. So I don't think it would limit his options, because really all we've got on the right side, I know he's not in the squad, you've got Ross McCausland and Ant-Man on the right hand side, and then the left it's really just Jedi Gassama, so there's no, and he's just too hot and cold. So I think they would both be able to, you could play the both of them together. I don't think there would be any issues with that. I just think that definitely, I think Cutter's coming off the left is another option for us to give us that little bit more attacking. I know he's predominantly right sided, but he's shown he can do it off the left as well, or through the middle. He's got the pace to go through the middle, same with Czerny, he's got the technical ability to do that. So I think Gavin, the both of them, does give his different options on each side.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on how Dennett McInnes is planning on playing as well. If it's similar to Hearts last season, it was only, a lot of the time, only one real traditional winger. He played Kizaridis out on the left, who was cutting in on his right foot a lot. On the other side, you know, sometimes there was a right back playing there, sometimes Harry Milne was played over in that right midfield role, which was kind of new to him. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how Dennett McInnes lines up with this Rangers team, and if there is room for two out and out wingers.
Absolutely. Is there going to be room for two out and out strikers? You know, I've seen Derek play 4-4-2, you know, kind of stripping it back to kind of old, you know, classed as old school football now, wouldn't it? 4-4-2, and you know, you don't have two wingers, you've got two wide midfielders. But Czerny and Curtis could both do that job. But if you've got, you know, Chermiti, when he came in, wasn't a big fan. I think he came on to a good game. But if you've got him and Shankland, you know, are you only going to play one? Are you going to drop one? I know that if they can sell Chermiti for 20 million, I think they'd bite your hand off for that. But it is going to be really, really interesting. I'm a big fan of wingers who play on their natural side, you know, so a right footer on the right and a left footer on the left. I think it can cause way more problems for the fullback. Someone who's just going to be directing and get at you. Having said that, I think both of those.
I have no idea. Genuinely no idea what that noise was there.
Someone
in production didn't like what you were talking about there.
Obviously doesn't like that.
This genuinely never happened before on this show.
First time for everything.
No idea what happened there.
Well, I still stand by what I said. I want a right foot on the right and a left foot on the left, and I want them to get at fullbacks. And you know what? I'd love to go back and be a fullback now, because the winger runs up to you and then turns back or cuts inside. It's great. You can get somebody else's job to help you.
Oh well, what a way to finish your point there, is that someone's just decided that you were talking nonsense, apparently.
That happens quite a lot. I think my wife's got a buzzer like that in the house.
Maybe it was Alan on the line. He just played that down his phone. Who knows? But thank you to Alan on the line. Thank you to Richard Foster in the studio. That's all we've got time for. Of course, plenty of Premier Sports Cup matches on the go tonight. So if you're going along to one of them, enjoy. And we'll hear from you tomorrow on what you made of it. Will there be any more confirmed transfers tomorrow for us to get our teeth into? We'll be a bit closer to the start of the Premiership campaign, a World Cup semi-final tonight as well between France and Spain. So maybe we'll take a look at what happened in that game. But thank you very much, as I said, to Richard Foster. Thank you to you at home for listening along, getting involved on the live stream and getting involved on the phones. And it's going to be Callum Gallagher that is up next.